and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rap Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is someone who needs to make an apology. Joe Crazy Writer. Joe?
I apologize.
Well, what are you apologizing for?
Well, first of all, I've been accused of gimmick infringement.
Why, yes. I saw that yesterday you were wandering around St. Paul like a drunken hobo.
You are wrong.
And that's Blade Braxton's gimmick.
Yes. No, it's a damn fine gimmick. I mean, it's bad enough we had to give him the crickets back. But and of course, as usual, Corey is wrong. It was Minneapolis. But, you know, because just like the Crusher used to say, you know, you get to that point in Northeast Minneapolis, Northeast University in Minneapolis, right along the river there, where the bars are literally within walking distance. So you get to do the snake dance. You go from bar to bar to bar. I'm telling you, Strode, I don't know where I was last night, but I must have had a good time.
Were you with Wanda, the most beautiful woman in the world?
Hey, we were drinking mashed potatoes. We were eating the beer. I said that wrong, didn't I? But I do have to apologize because I am feeling a bit under the weather. And it's because of a threesome.
What? Yeah, now you're infringing on Dan's gimmick.
Damn straight. I'm just going to infringe on everybody. No, I got a threesome. First of all, I'm not hungover, but I am, you know, that morning after tired grogginess. I'm at the tail end of a cold, which I don't know. Did I complain about that last week? I don't remember. It's still hanging on. And on top of that, my daughter and her boyfriend apparently were babysitting their cat. And it's not a big dander cat, but I do get I am allergic to them. So I do get the itchies. So you top all three of those today, and I'll have a lot of phlegm clearing and coughing and crap. And if it overcomes too much of the talking we're going to do, I apologize. And of course, it'll put Corey's podcasting editing skills to the test. Because,
which is great, because I have to turn this around in like 6 hours.
Which is, yes, fabulous. And not on top of that, our normal podcasting idea, we decided to shelve until next week because we got the previews.
But before we get to previews, Joe, we have a letter.
We do?
Yes.
Let me guess. W.
No, I'm sorry. Damn. So the $50 goes back in the jackpot. No, we got a letter from Dennis Mishmash, which may not be his real name.
That's okay. We don't mind synonyms.
Yeah. Your Uncle Rat Bastard hates when people use fake names.
That's crazy. Corey.
Hey, Corey. I've been a fan ever since I went looking for podcasts about EC Comics. I knew right away you knew your stuff. That was around 2015, and I've been hooked ever since. I've since shared your podcast with my Vintage Stock Comic Warehouse friend, and he's also a weekly listener. I love Joe's humor and your scope of back issue knowledge. Well, that's good, because I'm not very funny, and Joe doesn't know anything.
I don't know nothing.
Since you asked for topics, I thought this one would be right up your alley. John Morrow of Tomorrow's Publishing book, Jack Kirby and Stan Lee Stuff Said, which I have given a solid review to. I have not read it yet, but I understand it is the most researched book ever about their relationship. Morrow's has dug into fanzine interviews with Kirby and compared them over time, and apparently Jack's story of Marvel never changed, unlike Stan's version. Anyhow, thanks for all you guys do. You inform and brighten my Monday nights, and you have provided headphone motivation for my exercise.
I think we should lift that.
I think
Crazy Comics and Stories. Headphone motivation.
I think maybe I should use it. You guys are really a national treasure. Well, at least to the over 40 male comic fan crowd of podcast listeners. You're a listener, and since you are our Uncle Rap Bastard podcast nephew, Dennis Mishmash. P.S., is this worthy of a celebrated Joe prize?
If he gave you his address, I'll send him a Joe prize.
There you go. Now, Joe, do you have the book stuff set?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I don't think I do, because usually the ones, the comic history books, I try to hang on to, and in case I need to reread them. But allow me to write that down. Stuff said.
And if you find it, we'll both go over it. And if not, maybe that could be a Solitaire Rose podcast, because I have read it, and I'm a little miffed that they, in the second printing, they put in even more information, which kind of irks me as someone who supported them immediately.
Don't irk the Uncle Rat Bastard. It just leads to an incident.
I could clean their place, you know.
Ooh, that's uncalled for.
Now, we have not recorded in 2 weeks.
No, we haven't. It's just the way things worked.
But I have recorded two other audios that people have to subscribe to listen to, Joe.
Wow. But they're free, right?
No.
No?
You have to go over to pwinsiderelite.com, sign up for a membership. And every Wednesday night at around 10 o'clock, I give them an audio, which is my recap of All Elite Wrestling, which you haven't seen because you don't have cable.
Nope.
And
I do have PW Insider, which I apparently had been deactivated, even though I paid for it. But I just gave a quick email to the guys, and they're like, oops, sorry. I said, well, now that SmackDown's on Friday nights, I have a reason to actually follow along. So I'm slowly getting back into the wrestling stuff.
Now,
I've been out for a while.
All Elite does have an hour-long show on YouTube every Tuesday.
Well, that would work. I could probably watch that at work.
Yep. And I really like it. I think they're ironing out their flaws. But the thing I like most about it is one of the things that other people don't so much like about it, and I think it's because they're trained by WWE, they don't waste a lot of time with promos and vignettes and everything else. The characters are told to us in the ring. So you usually get about 5 matches a show and very little, I think they've only had like a couple vignettes, and both have been really short. Promos are happening in the ring, and they're usually the bad guy talking about how he's going to beat down the good guys. And Jericho is on fire with his promos. He's excellent with that. But this is pretty much all action. So if you want to hear more about what I think about All Elite Wrestling, just head on over to PWInsiderElite.com. They are the only wrestling news website I go to because, let's just say that some of the others have been proven to either get worked or make stuff up or just steal from them.
Yeah.
Talking about you, Dave Meltzer, you get worked constantly over at the Wrestling Observer. There's a website I do visit, which will go through and basically rates stories from 6 months ago. And it's like, okay, they reported this 6 months ago. Was it true? Did this happen? And Meltzer comes out about 50-50. So there we go. That's what I have been up to. What have you been up to since we've been away?
This, that, the other thing. I'll talk about it in geeking.
Okay. I hear there was a convention.
You heard correctly.
I was there.
There was lots of geeking there. I saw you. You looked very cheery.
What it was, I was cosplaying.
Yeah, sure you were. I mean, yes, you were.
I was cosplaying John Cena.
Uh-huh.
You didn't see me.
Uh-huh. Butch would have seen you. He sees all.
Just next time you see Butch, tell him I said, you can't see me.
He put his foot on your chest. What do you mean?
We've got a previews here to go through.
We do. So grab your previews. This is probably the most interactive we get with your podcast, because we will tell you the page and we pretty much just start at the beginning and rumble our way through. Now, we're just recommending things that are new that we think are of interest. We're not necessarily talking about things that we buy monthly that we won't. Although whenever I get back on my chair, after I do done get my hip done, I will probably do that, an episode like that, where we just go and talk about what we're currently buying month to month. And of course, we'd love to hear from you as well, especially if you're either a creator or if you're somebody who you're thinking, hey, how come they didn't mention that? Just drop us a quick note like
Mr. Mishmash.
Mishmash did.
And, I like that, Mr. Mishmash.
I do.
Say that seven times fast.
I will, but probably
sorry. you've still got the hair of the dog.
No, I don't have that. I just got the phlegm of the ages. Boy, you ever hawk up a Louie and that stuff just sticks to everything? Oh my God! Hang on a second. Okay, that was a test to the emergency phlegm mute system. All right, are you ready? I said, are you ready?
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay. Image.
First one that jumped out at me is the return of a series. It's now going to be a series of miniseries. On page 46, Old Guard by Greg Rucka and Leandro Fernandez.
That's a fun name. Rucka, 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 Rucka. For those of you who like Pac-Man.
Old Guard is... action-adventure military series where some of these soldiers are quite old, hundreds of years old. It ran as a series for a while. It's now going to be a series of mini-series, and this is the first of the new mini-series. There's a, three-page preview of it.
Yeah, Image is good with that.
Showing the art, showing the style. It doesn't give you a good idea of what the story is. And in a lot of ways, I'm going to recommend that you pick up the trade paperbacks before you pick this up. But I am a huge Greg Rucka fan. And this is one of his better books because it really digs into the military stuff that he's so good with.
Soon to be a major motion picture.
Pretty much everything of his got picked up. I'm watching the ABC show Stumptown, which is based on his Oni series, and it is fantastic.
I've been hearing awesome things about that. Go back one page to 42, Life, Universe, and Everything. I don't know, how do you pronounce this?
20XX.
Or is it 2020? X being the Roman numeral. Either way, it's a sci-fi thriller for mature readers. And I'll just, again, I'm not good at paraphrasing. I'll just read right off of page 42. This is in the not-so-distant future, a world of norms and Sims divided by fear. Sims are a small percentage of the population that have telekinetic abilities, and they form gangs to survive. But division only breeds more division, and Mir and Nuon experience this firsthand as they become entangled in the often dramatic, violent, but always complex social landscape of a Sim game. Takes place in Anchorage, Alaska. I mentioned this. I will probably not buy this as a series, but I'm definitely going to be watching it for a graphic novel. Down below, they offer what this team's done before, the team of Lori Keelan and Jonathan Luna. I recommended way, 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 way back Alex and Ada. Three-volume set that I picked up. And it basically is a guy who, I guess, falls in love with his a robot that you buy. And it's pretty much against the rules. The art was amazing. The story was fun. And I have a lot of faith in this particular one. 20XX, I guess. I don't know. But like I said, it's got three pages of preview art. It looks good. And The concept is kind of intriguing, and I know I will definitely pick it up as a graphic novel, but if you want to be on the ground floor, here's your chance.
I usually pick up Jonathan Luna's stuff as trade paperbacks. He and his brother did the books Girls and The Sword, which I absolutely loved.
Yep, I got the big one, the big book I've had downstairs waiting to be cracked open and read.
And then when I look at the art, it looks like he switched up his style to be a little more manga. So that's pretty interesting to me. What else jumped out at you from Image?
Well, we're actually 3 for 3 on the first three series in the Image section, because there's one called Lucy Claire Redemption Number 1. John Upchurch is doing it, writer, artist. Lucy Claire was once a celebrated hero, but through a series of sinister events, she was slandered and defamed, and her children were taken from her. But when an old danger reemerges, Lucy will have to take on the mantle of hero once again in order to right the wrongs of her past and, above all, find her children. Three pages of preview art, and it's definitely got my attention. So I will, I highly, highly recommend this. This looks like it would be a good series. Do you have anything else?
Not really.
Well, I got a couple things I can say while you're looking. Page 56 has a Hack/15th anniversary celebration. And Hack/ has been around for a long time through various publishers. Matter of fact, over in if you go to IDW, there's a Crow Hack/ crossover on page 157 that I'll mention. But I've read a few of these in and out, and I'm just picking this one up. There's a lot of interesting names on there. Savage Dragon's on the cover. I see, what's her name? Prince, was it Princess from I Hate Fairyland? Witchblade. So I'll it's a good chance to give it a shot. Also, since you know, Corey and I are big fans of collected
omnibuses.
On page 66, there's a book called Postal. And this is book one hardcover that has 1 through 5, including a couple other one-shots. Postal, I read this series when it first came out. I stopped at issue 6 or maybe 12, and I've been buying it as graphic novels. This is your chance to jump on the whole thing. Welcome to Eden, Wyoming, founded by criminals, for criminals, where crime is not tolerated. But a terrible murder shatters the fragile peace of this remote town, driving local postman Mark Chivron down a twisted path to the truth about his hometown and himself. After all, as the son of its co-founders, Eden is his birthright. And I've enjoyed this book a bit, and if you're so inclined to just buy the whole thing like I love to do, this would be a good one to jump on as well. And that's pretty much it for me, image-wise.
That was it for me, too. Next is Dark Horse. And
I'm going to sit back.
Remember and, how I felt about Grendel, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Well, on page 106, Nexus is back!
Oh, I saw that.
Now, what it is, these are... Steve Rude tried a new format, basically sending out a newspaper. And this was available mail order only, and it was through, I can't remember if it was Kickstarter or Indiegogo or one of those. And then it lasted for a while and ended, but Dark Horse is collecting them all. And you can either buy them as a regular trade paperback for $20, or you can spend $100 and get the artist edition. I'm going to buy the $20 one. But next, it says... let's see, where does it put? The greatest superhero comic of all time, Newsarama. I'm not going to say it's the greatest superhero comic of all time because there were flaws in it. There are some issues where you just read it and roll your eyes. But when Steve Rude and Mike Baron are working together, it is some of the greatest comics ever made. And this was Rude driving the bus and Mike Baron kind of along for the ride. And their run of Nexus, if you have not read it, next time Dark Horse reprints the omnibuses, just pick those up. They were some of the most amazing comics. And I'm happy that these stories are going to be printed in a format that is a little more easily storable, easier to get, and probably still on the same nice paper, but it'll look beautiful. Joe?
A couple things I'm going to point out. Two I'm not buying, I'm just pointing out, and one I definitely am. If you're an Aliens Predator fan, they're back with another miniseries on page 96, Aliens versus Predator, Thicker Than Blood. If you are a Stranger Things fan, or you have kids that love it, they have a new Stranger Things Zombie Boys Volume 1. This is kind of an all-age story that follows the events of Season 1. Unfortunately, I think this thing is on sale. Excuse me. Unfortunately, this thing isn't on sale until February, so you're not talking Christmas item, although you could get Stranger Things 1 or 2, which are already out and published and should be in better comic shops. So if you have Stranger Things fans that you like, I would say pick that up. Corey, you like Mike Mignola?
Why, yes, I do.
You like Adam Hughes?
Why, yes, I do.
Well, I got Hellboy and the BDRP, the Seven Wives Club. They're doing a one-shot together. And that's really all I got to say about that, because I'm buying it.
I have something to say about it, Joe.
Okay.
If Adam Hughes is drawing it, it'll be out in 2024.
Well, that's fine. But there's also some variant covers to go for. So, although you never know, he might have it done already done, pre-made, pre-done, pre-whatever. Anyways, that's it for me for Dark Horse.
I would hold my breaths. On the next page, they are finally putting out the BPRD stories in the omnibus format, but they're not calling it an omnibus. They're just saying it's 1946 to 1948. These are set in the world of Hellboy. So those are worth getting. Joe, can you turn to page 115?
I am already there. And had you passed that, I would have reached through the interwebs and probably chokeslapped you.
They are reprinting Psychoanalysis, one of the EC New Direction titles. And this is not a very good book.
Oh, really?
No, it's not really good. I like Jack Kamen's art, but this is very much in the 50s when psychoanalysis was considered new. But I wanted to point it out for two reasons. One, it was written by Daniel Keyes, who wrote Flowers for Algernon. And if you've ever read that book, this is not nearly as good. It's very early. If you read it now, you're going to go, oh, this is so cliched. And it's dull because it's just people sitting and talking. However, this has a weird sort of first to it. Mm-hmm. This was the first comic adapted for TV.
Really? What series?
The Tonight Show. Yes, they took stories from this. Keyes sort of adapted these stories, and they were part of the original Tonight Show in little 10 to 15 minute segments. And it's all of them are lost because they didn't save the Tonight Show back then. It has been written about, but I have never been able to find anyone who has any of the footage. And I just wanted to point it out first that it was an EC thing. Basically, if you really like Jack Kamen's art, get this. Otherwise, if you're a completist, but otherwise it's not very good. But it's also got that weird little historical footnote. I think that was all I had for Dark Horse. However,
I'm buying other things from Dark Horse. It just there was nothing really new that I was super excited about.
I want to point out something a little interesting about Dark Horse that I've read. I read an interview with the people who handle the marketing at Dark Horse. And you know how we go, gosh, how are they able to continue when their sales are not that great. And you look over the number of books they have, it's not a whole lot of books. But they were recently mostly purchased by a Chinese corporation. I found out why. You know how they're doing that Art of series where they have their big coffee table books about the art of video games, where they have all the preliminary sketches and things like that?
Yeah.
Those sell amazingly well. They make almost all of their money off those now. So even though they've lost Star Wars and Conan and Buffy, and I think they still have Aliens, but that may not last long because Disney owns Aliens. They are making all their money off those art of video game books. So yet another explanation as to why publishers and stores are diversifying and not just sticking with here's your comics every Wednesday. I thought that was thought that might be interesting to people. What's next on our agenda, Joe?
DC! Them comics. Let me tell you something about them comics. I've got only two things comic-wise that I'm looking forward to. And I mean, I'm buying a lot of stuff because DC's really been picking up the pace. And again, this month's offering from the Joe Hill House Comics, the Black Label, got my attention. The Low Woods. Shudder to think PA, that's the name of the town, has been on fire for years. The coal mines beneath it are long since abandoned. The woods are full of rabbits with human eyes. A deer woman stalks hungry girls and swaths of skinless men. The people in Shudder to Think, well, they're not doing so well either. And Elle and Octavia wake up in a movie theater with no memory of their last few hours. The two teenage dirtbags, and they are dirtbags, begin a surreal and terrifying journey to discover the truth about the strange town they call home. I'm putting a lot of faith in these Joe Hill comics because I'm buying so far every one. And part of me is like, well, maybe I should wait and do the graphic novel, especially if I end up really, really enjoying it. So, so far, Joe Hill comics are 3 for 3 with me. And they're all miniseries. They're basically, they seem to be every other month. So you got to kind of pay attention to what you buy. And yeah, I'm going to buy the one shot on the free next page, page 6. The Dark Knight Returns, The Golden Child, number one. Because it's just a one-shot prestige. So I don't know if years from now they'll do a bunch of one-shots like this and put it in a graphic novel. But it's 3 years. It's in the Dark Knight universe. Frank Miller writes it. And Raphael, I guess, Grandpa? I don't know. He does the art. And, you know, about 300 different variant covers. So... it's a one shot. If it was a series, I probably would have waited till the book. And my guessing is they're going to come out with a bunch of these, eventually make a book. But, so those are the two new ones, DC comic wise. Corey, what comic wise has your attention?
Well, first they've got another of the, prestige format, 80 page, all new short stories, New Year's Evil number one. You got Kurt Busiek doing a story, Dale Eaglesham, Gabriel Hartman, Elena Casagrande.
And others.
And others. And I love these. I'm really a big fan of these. Our 100-page giants, our Batwoman Supergirl, world's finest, Flash and Aquaman, Flash, Aquaman, Superhero Girls, and Teen Titans Go all get second issues. And Superman Giant number one, because by then maybe Tom King will have his Superman story that's in the older series done. Wonder Woman Dead Earth looks interesting, but it's prestige format, 48 pages, $7. I'll wait for the trade.
Me as well. Me too.
Me too.
Are we? Are anything else fun or?
Not till I get back to the trades.
Well, let's jump to the trades.
The first one is right there on page 84, The Adventures of Superman by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. Jose Luis Garcia Lopez.
It rolls off the tongue, almost like mishmash. Just rolls off the tongue.
His art is some of the best in comics, and anytime they're going to collect it, I'm going to buy it. On the next page is a book that I am interested in just because I love these big collections. The Bat and the Cat, 80 Years of Romance. This reprints a whole bunch of Batman Catwoman stories, going all the way back to Batman number 1, number 3, number 15, on and on and on. I love these. It's like when DC first put out the greatest Batman stories and greatest Superman stories, and then they did, you know, the greatest Joker stories. I like these books when they, you know, they do a good job of going through and picking out great stories that are worth reading over and over. Joe?
I've got three I'm looking at. A couple we've talked about already. The Green Arrow Mike Grell Omnibus. On page
yes!
Oh, that looks good. I remember when this series came out, it was on the heels of Dark Knight, the original one. So anything that was done in a prestige format was like, people were just dying to get a hold of. And of course, Green Arrow, Longbow Hunters 1 through 3 was that way. And then it rolled into a mini series. And you got Mike Grell art. The stories, and I think you talked about it, was it last podcast? Or a couple ago, where more of an adult level Green Arrow, where he's not doing trick arrows, he's actually doing arrows, and there are consequences to it. I have not read these in years, and that to me looks like it'd be a lot of fun. The other one I'm going to point out, but I guess I have it. I had it down as I'm going to buy, but I'm not big on buying remakes. On page 97 is the new edition of the Infinite Crisis Omnibus. And
what it is, the old one sold out, and sold out so fast, they went, holy crap, and yeah, they're going back to press.
The only other, I mean, there's always tons of books I'd love to buy, but the other one that I'm really looking at is on page 99, Legends of the Dark Knight, Steve Englehart hardcover. These are stories that I spent years trying to find because I remember reading them in my BC era before collecting, and I could never find them again. And I had no idea. There was almost no resources. You'd even look in the Overstreet Guide, and I couldn't tell. I needed something to tell me who wrote it, what the story synopsis was. I didn't even know who Steve Englehart or Marshall Roger, Terry Austin. I didn't know any of those names. But this one has a lot of the storylines in it where he's fighting with Dr. Hugo Strange. And then, of course, the renowned Jokerfish storyline. And again, it's a $40 book for about, well, 500, what, four, five, six? Sorry.
Too much $500? What?
$500 for three pages on two CDs. This limited, whatever. No, it's 456 pages for $40. You know, and you probably get it for less if you pre-order from your comic shops. So I'm looking forward to this one. This is the type of story I would love. And those are the big three that I'm looking at. Anything else catch your attention, Corey?
Back on page 89, you've got Batwoman by J.H. Williams III Omnibus. J.H. Williams III is one of the best artists working in comics. First became aware of his work when he was working on Promethea with Alan Moore. The Batwoman series that he and Greg Rucka did was phenomenal. And I'm happy that this is getting collected. I think, yeah, we both mentioned the Mike Grell Omnibus. And really, for me, that was about it out of the new books. I noticed that they are reprinting stuff. You know, we talked about how they're reprinting the Infinite Crisis. They're also reprinting Omega Men by Tom King in a hardcover this time. And they're reprinting the Justice League Origin by Geoff Johns and Jim Lee again. And one other I want to point out, I bought the Omnibus, so I don't need this, but they are reprinting Justice League International Book 1.
Yeah.
This was Keith Giffen, J.M. DeMatteis, Kevin Maguire stuff. This was my favorite version of the Justice League. It was right after Crisis. The Justice League had been selling poorly since George Perez left. And the final iteration of it was the Justice League Detroit that did went over about like a lead balloon.
Yeah.
So they came in they did a lighthearted, almost sitcom superhero, but it's wrong to say that this was an all comedy series, because they did actually have moments of drama and pathos and adventure. This was just a very well done comic series that did not take itself or its universe seriously. And Kevin Maguire, he came out of nowhere with this.
Yeah.
He is a master of facial expressions. One of the greatest artists in comics. This book would not work if it weren't for him, because he was able to show such emotion through facial expressions and body posture that nobody else could have pulled this off. I absolutely love this book. If you've never read this version of the Justice League, pick this up. It's got the first 17 issues plus the annuals and tie-ins to those issues. And you'll see why this book was a huge hit, to the point where there were like four or five Justice League books when it was coming out, because people loved it so much. And that's it for me for DC.
As well as me. Next up, IDW. And I've only got two on this one. The first one, just something to note. It's kind of tugs on the old nostalgia strings. But on page 153, they're doing a Star Trek, the motion picture facsimile edition. This, I believe, is probably reprinting. It's right on the thing. Marvel Super Special.
The magazine version.
And then they reprinted it in a comic series that only went into the teens. The biggest problem was is that the Marvel series at that time only had the rights to do anything that was in the motion picture. Why? I don't know. I think Paramount was just being ultra paranoid at the time.
No, because the rights to the TV show were tied up in other things.
Ah. Because that was always the big thing when you read about it in the letter pages, if you actually find the original comics. People, what about the Romulans? What about this? What about that? We don't have the license for that. We can bring the Klingons back. And I think they might have. It was an okay series. the movie I slept when. Had a good nap. But it just kind of was a tug of the old heartstring to see that the cover like that again. And it's fairly cheap. I don't know what the regular edition would cost you on the eBays. Page 166, Love and Capes, The Family Way by Tom Zeller. I've raved about this series over and over and over. It is quite possibly one of the most fun series I've ever read. He does it online, and then instead of doing it as a comic book, he's now doing it just straight into a graphic novel. So you get 168 pages, and it takes place a couple years from the last series, because the last series ended where Mark, who is the Superman archetype, married Abby, and they had a child. Well, now they have two children, James and his sister Haley, and they're navigating the world of playdates, diapers, and field trips. They also run an art gallery and save the world. And of course, Darkblade and Amazonia, Batman, Wonder Woman, are have broken up. I am very, very happy to visit back in this world. I know they're online, whatever, but I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I like to have a graphic novel and sit down and read this. So this will probably be a must-read, and you know when it does come out, 2 months from now, I guess, I'll be revisiting that when we get to Freaking and Geeking, because I'm going to just love the living bejeebus out of this book. I mean, I have the comics, but I also have the graphic novels, because it's one of those that I just love to read from the beginning to however far he's gone, usually once a year, twice a year, if I can find them all at one time. I tell you, I got so many books. Anyways, that's it for me, IDW. Anything for you, Corey?
Joe, please go to page 163.
Yo.
Johnny Dynamite. Explosive pre-code crime comics, The Complete Adventures of Pete Morrissey's Wild Man of Chicago, published by Yo Books. This is a really obscure book that I would know nothing about if not for Scary Terry Beatty and Max Allen Collins, who resurrected Johnny Dynamite and did a mini series based on the character. So this reprints all of them. What it is, this was a basically a hard-boiled detective story done as a comic. And it didn't last very long, but it lodged in the minds of people who are big fans of hard-boiled detective comics, like me. This reprints all of it. And how sad is it that it's only 184 pages? But still, well worth it. I have read these stories. They reprinted some of them in Ms. Tree back in the 80s and into the 90s, I think. But really looking forward to this one. Those were fun books. What is next on our agenda?
Oh, I tell you, Marvel, I love you, but I'm going to have to rake you over the coals a little bit later. But Marvelous. And I'm looking. My Marvel order basically explodes this month because I am into this miniseries event type thingy that's going to be rocking the Marvel Universe. It's called Incoming. And they actually give us four solid pages of, if not an introduction of what's going on. I've been hearing things online about this. Essentially, somebody's going to die. And it's kind of a, am I right on this, Corey? It's going to be like a murder mystery type thing going through Marvel.
And it also spins out of Marvel Comics 1000.
So this is it. It's a one shot coming up. And of course, we talked about it last month. But the Marvel Cosmic is firing up. And Annihilation Scourge, they're doing like they did last time. They got the Alpha. It's going into the miniseries. There's Nova, Silver Surfer, Beta Ray Bill, and the Fantastic Four. And then, of course, the Omega. And so if you're along for the ride, get ready to jump on it. What's also cool is that the True Believers this month, which are on page 16, 17, all tie into that, which is brilliant. A lot of these I will not be buying because I do have them in some type of form, usually essentials or omnibuses. But Corey, if you on that page, are there any of these you're looking to buy?
I always buy these because it's nice to have, even like Omega number one. Yeah, I have that. It's on shitty paper. This will be on the nice new paper. Same for Nova number one. I bought that. Bought that off the newsstand. But and I've got the essential, but it'll look really nice in this. If you turn back a page.
I know I'm going to do the Nova, the Iron Man, which has, I guess, Moondragon in it. And then Man-Wolf, which I don't recall ever reading. Although I know I must have had it because I had all of Marvel Premier at one time. But you're talking page 15?
Yes. They are doing a facsimile edition of Giant Size Defenders number 3 that will tie into this as well.
Which means if you have a copy of Giant Size Defenders 3, you should probably check to make sure it's in good shape because this will probably drive it up in the back issue market.
And this was Steve Gerber and Jim Starlin working together on a comic.
Oh, that's the first appearance of Korvac.
Yep.
Ooh, I know. He'll never last.
So they also, on the next page, are starting a crossover that I just went, kind of, what?
Yeah, I had to do the same thing.
Conan Serpent War.
Four-issue miniseries with a billion variant covers. Well, maybe not that many. I was like, oh, they're doing a Conan miniseries. I've not bought any of the current Conan stuff, but then I kind of like, oh, wait a minute. This has my attention.
This is Conan, Moon Knight, and two other Robert E. Howard characters that Marvel's going to be working with. Solomon Kane, who is a Puritan hero that Robert E. Howard only did a couple stories about. Marvel has done stories about him in the past, but also there was a Solomon Kane movie a few years ago. I don't remember much about it because it wasn't very good. And Dark Agnes, a Robert E. Howard character I know nothing about. So They're also on the next page reprinting Valley of the Worm, which was a Robert E. Howard story, not with Conan.
Yeah, they're doing it in the True Believer format, so it's only a buck. And yeah. That's the last. That's the other one I'm going to buy because, again, it's a book I've never read. And that, for a buck, you can't get much better than that. The only other series I'm going to point out, and if you're reading Doctor Strange, you know it's coming. It's Mark Waid starting over with another Doctor Strange number one. The twist, the impossible has happened. Doctor Strange's hands have been healed. And it restores his surgical skills. So now he's torn between his obligation as Sorcerer Supreme and as a neurosurgeon. And he's got to choose which vows to uphold. Mark Waid, as I've said in the past, could write the phone book and I'd pick it up. So the fact that they're going with, I mean, the cover threw me, Doctor Strange, Surgeon Supreme? I know. But I like the current run that he's doing, and I'll stick on board with this. So if you haven't jumped on, this is a good place to do so. And buy another number one with variant covers and hidden gem wraparound variants and more variant covers.
Must breathe. Also, New Mutants is one of the books Jonathan Hickman is writing every other issue of.
Yeah, I saw that. That kind of, we'll see how it rides.
They are also reprinting some Eternal stuff. On page 34, gearing up for the movie, they're reprinting Eternal Secrets from the Marvel Universe, which are the backup stories giving the history of the Eternals in the Marvel Universe from What If? And a facsimile edition of Eternals number one. There's also in the back, you could get a poster of Eternals, the cover of Eternals number one. I don't buy a lot of posters because I'm not in college anymore. I've been really, really tempted to get that one.
Oh, yeah. I will point out, because we've been talking a lot of the True Believer and facsimile editions, which we love, but way, way forward on a couple pages that they don't have numbers on, there are some Star Wars True Believers.
Yeah.
They're rolling into the Empire Strike Back stuff. And they have a Star Wars number one facsimile edition, which I will probably pick up just because I think when I bought Star Wars, I found issue number three. And I remember reading it, but not really know what's going on. Because as we've talked about before, the book came out before the movie did. And that's why Vader's helmet's green. But and there's scenes in this that were never, I guess they were filmed but cut from the movie, and George was being cagey about it. He showed them like at cons or whatever, but
there's even a couple scenes that are in the comic that haven't been in any of the restored versions.
Yeah.
Which really irritates me because
it does.
Come on, man.
And across the page are a bunch of True Believers. And I guess it ties in because there's a bounty hunter that appeared in the Marvel run that's going to be in the somewhere in the Star Wars saga. I'm not sure which one.
It's the bounty hunter who's in
Star Wars Empire Ascendant, number one.
The hunter.
Bellert Valance. So, see, never throw your back issues away. And I imagine if you have that number 16 Star Wars, that might go up in value. Might not, but, you know, whatever.
Then we get into the trade paper. One thing I do want to point out, they don't say so in the solicitation here, but, boy, it really looks like Dr. Aphra is being canceled.
Oh, it's just not there.
I love this book. I really love this book.
She's a fun character, and the droids they got with them are just, I mean, downright scary. Hey, there's a book coming up that I want to mention. I'm trying to find where I put it. It's called End of the Fucking World. And so since I'm going to be using the F word later on, can I drop an F-bomb right here? And yeah. We'll give a warning. Marvel, what the fuck are you doing with your omnibuses?
Reprinting them.
Christ. Wolverine Omnibus, Silver Surfer Omnibus, Astonishing X-Men Omnibus.
Those are reprints, Joe.
Black Widow Omnibus. Well, my. John Byrne Omnibus. Holy mother of God. You know,
no, they're the the omnibuses that have gone out of print, such as Wolverine, Silver Surfer, and Astonishing X-Men.
And that's not even counting.
They want to get those back in print.
Oh, man, you're breaking us, babies. Although, if you are on eBay selling your Silver Surfer omnibus, now's the time to lower the price.
Of course, pump it as fast as you can. However, Joe, did you buy the Dan Slott omnibus?
Yeah, I have not opened it yet, but I do have it.
It is already out of print.
Oh, I think what's happening is what we surmised a while back, that they're not going to really push big printings of the omnibuses unless, like in this case, there's three of them they're redoing because they sold out. But of these omnibi, Mr. Strode, that I mentioned, I am looking, I've got to decide between the Silver Surfer. The Black Widow one looks intriguing, and I would love the John Byrne She-Hulk, which would be fun. But I have to decide which one. I'm kind of leaning towards the Silver Surfer because I don't have any of his stuff available. Although, you know, I have it in the essential form, but it'd be nice to have it in the a nice solid hardcover. Anything there in the omnibuy you're looking at?
Timely's Greatest, the Golden Age Submariner, post War Years omnibus. They are reprinting all of Bill Everett's. I've already got the one that has all the pre-war stories and the ones into World War II that were by Everett. Now they're reprinting the post-wars stuff by Bill Everett. So with these two volumes, you've got most everything. He did do some Submariner stories in the 70s, right before he passed. I love these. I think Everett's art is phenomenal. I understand that Golden Age is not for everyone. I'm not saying run out and buy it if you're not already a fan. I am, however, getting the Black Widow omnibus, and I'll get the George Perez variant because, of course, I will.
Oh, yeah. That's killer artwork.
And this reprints all of the Black Widow stories up to the, up until the 90s. Just kind of collecting them all in one place. And that's why I want to get it. So, yes, you're going to have some of the real early Don Heck stuff. You've got that issue of Spider-Man where she changes her costume and Spider-Man goes, Black Widow, huh? I wonder if we're related in some way.
Yeah.
But this is a nice collection because it's going to grab all of these stories that were published all over the place and put them in one place. I'm not a huge fan of the Sensational She-Hulk by John Byrne enough to buy an omnibus. I already have those stories. I do already have those. I do want to point out, however, on page 115, Daredevil Elektra, the Gallery Edition. This reprints the Elektra Assassin 1 through 8 and Daredevil Love and War graphic novel. I did not realize that Elektra Assassin was out of print. Elektra Assassin came out around the same time as Dark Knight, and I think people have forgotten that it was just as influential. It got reviews in major magazines when it was collected into a book, and I still think it's one of the greatest things that Bill Sienkiewicz ever did. He just went wild with that art, and Miller was at the peak of his writing skills at that point. Does it tie in with the continuity? And I don't care. It was published through Epic.
Hey, Alan Moore said all, I'm sorry, as Marvel refers to him, the original writer said all stories happened. So for you who poo-poo continuity, I poo-poo-do.
You've now, also got an had Avengers masterwork that reprints stories that I hated.
Yeah. I got to talk to Drew because I don't know if he, Gruber, if he's buying those because I know he loves the original Masterworks format, you know, where it had the gold frame on it, because that's how his are put up. But he got kind of screwed over by his friendly local comic shop because they kept ordering him the modern version. He don't want that. He wants the variant edition, but the direct market, the way they were published, you know, years ago. Speaking of continuity, I can't give you the page number. That's just crazy. And so is the book. Crazy trade paperback. And this has takes Marvel's most demented humor mascot, Obnoxo the Clown, and takes stuff directly out of their crazy magazine, including the Obnoxo the Clown number one, which I don't remember when the hell that was published.
That was in the early 80s, and that's not what it was called. It was called Obnoxo the Clown versus the X-Men.
And
who won that fight, Joe?
I don't even remember reading it. I remember
one.
Well, yeah, of course. I remember having it. But no, this is you continuity guys, I'm going to let you figure out where all these fights happen, because they did happen. So, but I'm recommending that one.
What it is, it reprints stories from Crazy Magazine, mostly the Marvel related stuff. Crazy was Marvel's version of Mad.
I don't know how many. Good Lord, it got stuff up in the 94. How many issues did this thing publish?
I think issue 94 was the last one. And Obnoxo the Clown was not the original mascot. Joe, does Joe know who was the original mascot for Crazy Magazine?
Irving Forbush.
Nope.
I can't even pronounce that right.
No, he was for Not Brand Eck.
Ah.
Named Forbush Man. Who was it for Crazy?
Don't even know.
The Nepish.
The Nepish.
It was a little man wearing kind of a robe who you only saw his big nose and eyes.
I remember that. I'm actually looking up Crazy on, and I don't see, they don't have, they got the, there was like a comic series in the 70s. That did four issues that republished. It looks like Not Brand Eck. And then there was the one shot in 2019 that we talked about. And I don't see anything for the magazine itself though. So
they may not have it because it wasn't a comic.
They got Mad Magazine.
That's and it was kind of weird then.
Yeah. Oh well.
Crazy started, it was very much done by the bullpen. Matter of fact, Steve Gerber was the editor for a few issues. Marv Wolfman was the editor for a few issues. But then for a while, they kind of pulled it away from Marvel. And then toward the end, they started putting more Marvel superhero type stuff in it. But it was another Mad knockoff like Cracked or Sick or stuff like that.
You know, I think if you were to get that Eternals facsimile edition poster, it would be much more fun if they like took out all the lettering and the word balloons. Just have that Kirby art.
Yeah.
And you hang it up in your office and see how long it is before Human Resources sends you off to be analyzed. That's
The Conan trade paperbacks are kind of interesting this month in that they have a Conan Chronicles Epic Addiction, which reprints more of the stuff from Dark Horse. But then underneath it, they reprint the entire Hour of the Dragon story, which spread out over Giant Size Conan 1 through 4 and was continued in Conan Annuals 4 and 5, as well as some stuff in Savage Sword of Conan. But this was Roy Thomas adapting the novel that Robert E. Howard wrote. And it was all by Roy Thomas, Gil Kane, and John Buscema. So that's one of the better Conan stories. And if you're not like me, you're not buying the omnibuses, I would pick this up. It's one of the best Conan stories from the 70s. And of course, you got Gil Kane and John Buscema doing art that they love doing. And that's about it for me for Marvel.
Yeah. Lots of stuff. Okay, who's next?
We got Dynamite and Boom, I do believe.
Dynamite. I've got a couple things on Dynamite that let's see, where'd my show notes go? Okay, they're doing a Vampirella number 2 replica edition on page 181, which I thought was really cool. If I say her name right, wrong. Deja Thoris. Hot chick from her new series, 182, James Bond fans, page 186, and number one starting. So if you like any of those properties. For me, a couple things as well. They're doing a Boys number one, $1 edition, that they call it. If you've got friends that are into the show and you don't want to really spend a lot of money on them, like, can blame you. This would be something fun to buy and say, hey, you know, it's based on a comic. Here, give them the first issue and see what they think. I got to figure out how many guys I'm going to buy this for at work. And then if they're interested, well, you got to go buy the rest. I'm just addicting you, not going to supply you. There's a Vampirella tarot cards that went out of print for a while. So if you've got like Vampirella art, or you are so inclined to have somebody read you a tarot, from what I understand, it doesn't work that way. You can't buy a tarot deck for somebody. They have to buy it themselves in order for it to be valid. I remember that back. Remember the Vertigo tarot deck?
Yes.
Nick bought my last set from my shop, and he brought it to his shop. He was going to buy it for somebody who does tarot readings. And she told him, you can't do that. She has to buy it herself. So I don't know what the reason was, why she couldn't get to my shop, but Nick made it so that she, it probably was mail order, but Nick bought it from me. She bought it from the source. So if you ever, if you're thinking of buying that for a friend who's into that, you got to be cautious. On page 188, I'm going to point out they're doing more of those coins, the collectible coins. The reason I mention is because I got my first two in my discount comic book box. And I got the Red Sonja. I believe it's, I can't read the artwork on it, but one of them, J. Scott Campbell, and the other one. These are actually really pretty. They come with a little plastic stand, and they're already encased in plastic so you can actually display them. I have no idea if they have any resale value, but if you're looking for unique collectible for somebody, this is probably it. I'm really impressed with these. This month they have two for Vampirella, based off Vampirella 2 and Vampirella 4. I don't know if I'm going to get them because there's a lot of freaking omnibuses out there. And omnibus coin, well, who knows? So other than that, I don't have anything that, you know, I mean, I love looking through Dynamite stuff, just the variant covers. And of course, if you're really, really into CGC graded books, or you want a chance at getting some of those high end limited edition Virgin covers, they sell them separate now. But, and of course, Boys Omnibus, tons of Boys Omnibus. They got a Boys hat too.
There is also the third omnibus in the Project Superpowers series, which reprints the, it doesn't even say here.
No. Oh, this is when they broke into
four graphic novels featuring your favorite superpower characters, the Death-Defying Devil, the Owl, Masquerade, and more. Has the free comic book day comic and the Christmas special. It's this is a project kind of put together by Alex Ross, where they're using public domain heroes. And I've bought the first two. I think they're well done. I'm not going to say this is the greatest stuff ever, but it's good superhero stuff. I have heard really good things about Gail Simone taking over the Death Defying Devil. So that one I'm looking forward to when they put out the first trade paperback. So it's just another of the projects that Dynamite does that kind of flies under the radar, which is weird because it's Alex Ross. But still, for some reason, it flies under the radar. That was all I had.
Right across from it, again, I point these out because this will come out at Christmas. I do like that Dynamite says when these will ship. But if you got a Xena Warrior Princess fan, there's the trade paperback of some of the stuff they just did in that gorgeous David Mack cover. So that's pretty much it for Dynamite. Now let's go. Boom! I just like saying that. Right off the bat, page 210, The Red Mother, written by Jeremy Hahn, illustrated by Danny Luckert. Jeremy Hahn, of course, did the beauty for Image. And it says, after losing her eye and the man she loves in a brutal mugging, Daisy McDonough is left trying to put the pieces of her life back together. Just when she begins to think she can heal and move on, she begins to see strange things through her new prosthetic eye, and the Red Mother sees her in return. I think this is a series. They usually are really good about saying if it's a mini series, and the art looks intriguing, and I'll give it a shot.
If you head on over to page 218, we get the latest story in the Klaus series, which is a series by Grant Morrison that redoes Santa Claus more in favor of the original myths. So this is a new one. This is the Life and Times of Joe Christmas. Abandoned as a baby, Joe Christmas is taken in by Klaus. In this holiday calendar-inspired comic, see vignettes of Joe and his family as they team up with Klaus over 25 Christmas adventures. It's a 56-page book. You've also got the three trade paperbacks on the next page. Well, I'm sorry, there were only two trade paperbacks on the next
and
page.
And one hardcover. Yep.
And a hardcover. I actually read these on the graphic app. And because when I first saw it, it's like, I like Grant Morrison, but a dark, gritty origin of Santa Claus. Ugh. But no, it's really good. It's really, really good.
Corey, how do you like your history?
Deep fried. I like everything deep fried.
Well, if you go back, you
batter dipped and deep fried.
You can get an original graphic novel called Big Black Stand at Attica. And this is in on page 216. It's an graphic novel, memoir in the tradition of March, and they called us Enemy, which is a George Takei one. The uprising at Attica Prison remains one of the bloodiest civil rights confrontation in American history, but without Frank Big Black Smith, it could have been worse. Now, for the first time, the late Frank Big Black Smith shares his experience at the center of this uprising, struggling to protect hostages, prisoners, and negotiators alike. And before Frank died, he worked with writer and longtime friend Jared Rainmuth to share the true story of his time in Attica State Prison. And this just looks... I mean, most of Boom's historical stuff like this, and it's under their Archaea, I think I'm saying that right, imprint, I've enjoyed. And this is something I know very little about, although, you know, the Attica is almost, it's almost woven into people's minds just because of the, you know, rattle the cop, Attica, whatever. So I'm... be interesting to read this because it's something I know very, very little about. Sad thing is it will not be out for Christmas. It will be out February. So again, Boom, thank you for saying that. So I, you know, I'm just going to buy me a copy. It's not necessarily a good Christmas gift. And Corey, I am shocked, shocked that you passed by page 212. You are not getting the quintessential crossover Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1 of 5.
Yeah, I'm skipping that.
Oh, okay. Whatever. I just mentioned it because if you are a Power Ranger or Ninja Turtle fan, you probably want to get on board this because this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. That's pretty much it for Boom for me.
And that's it for the, what do they call these, the people in the front?
The front people.
Premier? The front people. The front. Premier. These are the premier publishers.
And now...
the rest of the rest. Story.
Yep. I don't even know where to start. Let's see. Oh, I know. I'll go to page 246. Give you a moment to get yourself paper cut. This is a graphic novel from Abstract Studio, which is Terry Moore's baby. And 5 years, this is basically he's tying together a storyline with all the characters he's done over, including people from... oh, man, my brain just shut off. Strangers in Paradise is his first one. Rachel Rising, Motor Girl, all these characters. And it's been coming out. I wait and I buy them as a book. And this is the first volume one where they're getting together. Apparently, the Five Nations have secretly acquired the formula to build a bomb that will destroy the most common element in the universe, hydrogen. Why they would do that? Well... pick up 5 years, volume one, Fire in the Sky. Or you could really go nuts and buy the Strangers in Paradise Gallery Edition for $125. No. Yes. No. Oh, well. What else you got? What's your next one?
Let's pop on over to Ahoy Comics, shall we? On page 264, we get the second series of Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror. Why am I bringing this one up when it's a third issue? Because this one is written by Linda Medley, who does Castle Waiting. She has been getting back into comics. She's slower with her art because she's older, but she has taken on an inker, and I've seen some of the pieces that they're doing for the new Castle Waiting story, and it's phenomenally beautiful. But she's doing some stuff for Ahoy Comics, and I wanted to point out that she's doing the main story here for Ever Wonder How the Raven Got Into Poe's Study on That Midnight Dreary? Writer-artist Linda Medley tells all. Another reason I want to point this out is Linda Medley is someone who, she has friends who are crows. And before you look at me as if I'm crazy.
We always look at you that way.
Crows recognize people. And she has written a lot online about how she has been feeding the crows that live around her house to the point where she's kind of started to understand their signals to each other. So, like, you know, three caws mean this, four caws mean this, two caws and a pause, and then two caws means this. And she has noticed that when she goes somewhere, they follow her to make sure she gets there safely. So she knows a little something about birds. By the way, speaking of that, you know how I was kind of friends with the crows at the group home?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine they're all very mad at me now.
Because?
Well, I went to where the group homes, where they had the four cottages. Everything is torn down.
Oh.
Not just the cottages. The trees, everything. Because they're building condos there. But I went and it's all just piles of dirt now. So all the trees are gone. All their homes are gone. And I did not stop because I know that the crows would have been very upset with me that I did not protect them from their trees being torn down. Joe, what do you have?
Back on page 250 from Action Lab Entertainment, Supermom, Expecting Trouble. This is just one of those that kind of caught my attention. I do read everything in previews, which takes a while, but superhero Voltra is out to stop her arch nemesis from taking over the planet. There's just one problem. She's pregnant and he's the father. I'm like, okay, I don't know if this is an ongoing series or just a one shot, but I'll give it a try. And I will report back to you as soon as I have it. And, or you could use it as well. So, yeah.
I want you to turn to page 284, Joe.
This is actually on my list.
Avatar Press is still cleaning out the warehouse. This time they've got all 17 collections of the series Crossed. And they did not have this available in the past. It's now available. I've noticed that, you know, they don't. It's like, okay, first volume is $12.99. Second volume is $9.99. There's a couple others that are $9.99 or $12.99. But then once you get to volume 5, they're all $5.99. There are a few new series that are put in for sale along with Crossed. So if you were like me and went through and it's like, yeah, I'll get them. They're $5.99 for $30 trade paperbacks. You'll want to go through because there are some more that they've added, including all four of Garth Ennis War Stories.
Yeah, that's one I know I don't have. I'm going to have to go dig up my I still got the packs from the last couple of times they did this, and a lot of them I've never even opened. So I just got to kind of double check, make sure I'm not getting duplicates or triplicates in this.
I want to point out War Stories for one reason. This is not a horror book. This actually started at Vertigo. And when Vertigo said they didn't want to do anymore, Garth Ennis brought it over to Avatar. These are War Stories written by Garth Ennis. They're highly realistic. And some of the – I'm not a big war comic guy, but I am a Garth Ennis guy. And if you've read his Punisher stuff set in the Vietnam War, you know just how good he is at this sort of thing. If you don't buy anything else from these Avatar sales, pick up those four volumes. You'll thank me. They're amazing. They're just amazing.
And over in Boundless, they're doing a similar thing. They're blowing out the Lady Death. They call them Art Deco covers, which actually sell for a bit of ching on the interwebs. On the next page, they have a bunch of warehouse finds of old platinum foil covers that were like incentive covers. So if you like your Lady Death or you like your Helena or Threshold or Web Witch, they're doing the same thing. So you can check both those areas out. Let's see what we got here. I'm going to jump us to Fangraphics. It's ahead on page 3.
I have a few in Fantagraphics as well.
Yeah, the one that I wanted to point out, talked about it earlier. If you're into the show, The End of the Fucking World, there is the book is in there by Charles Forsman. So it's a Netflix series. And again, it's kind of neat because people are watching the show and not necessarily cognizant of the fact that it's a graphic novel. Hence the love I'm giving to the Boys $1 comic. So I wanted to point that out. But then what I love about this section is sitting back and listen to Corey point out some of the gems that these guys have. Because a lot of them, while he's talking, I'll be writing down like, okay, maybe I won't get that third Wolverine Omnibus hardcover and get this instead.
On the previous page, the George Harriman Library, Crazy and Ignatz, from 1916 to 1918. Crazy Cat is not a series that was popular at the time it was being printed. And now you may ask, well, Corey, why did they print it in the newspaper for 30 years? Joe?
I'm sorry, I'm just upset they spelled crazy wrong. But okay, go ahead.
Because William Randolph Hearst, who owned the newspaper it was in, absolutely loved this comic. This is a surrealist comic that is pointed to by most art aficionados, not even comic aficionados, as one of the greatest art achievements ever. It's a very simple story. There's the cat, Ignatz the mouse, and Officer Pup. And they are in the desert. Crazy loves Ignatz. Ignatz doesn't much care for Crazy and will throw bricks at Crazy. And Officer Pup kind of likes Crazy. So you've got this weird triangle, but this is all about the art. This is all about the beautiful, surrealist, minimalist art. This reprints some of the earliest stuff. This is one of those comic strip reprint series I am buying every one of. Then right under it is another of the EC collections that Fantagraphics does that is based on artists and not, you know, Tales from the Crypt or Frontline Combat. This is Man and Superman and Other Stories. This reprints all of Harvey Kurtzman's early EC stories. It's got his stuff from Weird Science, Weird Fantasy, Shock Suspense, Two-Fisted Tales, Tales from the Crypt. Harvey Kurtzman, if I have to explain who Harvey Kurtzman is, you're a new listener, and welcome. Harvey Kurtzman, one of the greatest cartoonists of all time, the editor of Mad Magazine, the creator of Little Annie Fanny. He worked at the School of Visual Arts for years and years and years, teaching many of the artists that you know. He is the father of underground comics, because if you look at the early underground comics, all of them point to Kurtzman's work and Mad. So, if you only buy one book for historical purposes this month, it should be Man and Superman, because not only do you get to see Kurtzman's beautiful work, but you also get some of the best stories in comics. On the other page, of course, is their gift ideas for the holiday season. And because this is the Titanic Tomes month, where Diamond is pushing big books, and you know, Joe and I, we love big books, so we cannot lie.
We like
lie.
Big books, you cannot lie. Other brothers might deny. Myself, my shelves are mad titanium steel, because if they don't, they'll go through the floor. No.
So you've got the complete Zap Comics for $500.
Yes.
Including the unprinted issue. The complete women's comics, that's a relative bargain for only $100.
I would love that.
And the ones that I enjoy, the Disney Masters box sets.
You know, if you're not going to get Corey and I these great gift ideas for the holiday season, we would settle for somebody making us a Wikipedia page.
Which, you know, if we're a national treasure, shouldn't we have a Wikipedia
page? We should have one. Yep. Now, are you, anything else Fangraphic-wise?
Nope, that's it.
Because, see, while you're busy looking at that, I'm on page 413 looking for the best name for a comic book. Under Full Moon Features, Deadly 10 presents Sorority Babes in the Slime Bowl Bolorama. This is the type of title I would just buy because I could. When I
now,
had a
Joe, comic. Where is that comic from?
I have no idea. I'm judging it on its title.
It's an adaptation of an 80s movie.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Which I saw because I am a huge Brink Stevens fan.
Was that the title of it? Sorority Babes in the Slime Bowl Bolorama?
Yep. Brink Stevens made a lot of low-budget movies where she removed her clothes along with Leanna Quigley and others. But does Joe know what is the connection between comic books and Brink Stevens?
How the hell would Joe know? Joe doesn't even know how he got home from drinking last night.
Brink Stevens was Dave Stevens' wife.
Ooh, I should have guessed.
And they did divorce, but they remained close friends. She also was one of his models. But no, Sorority Babes at the Slime Ball Bolorama was one of those direct-to-video in the 80s exploitation movies, which was, you know, here's some monsters, here's a goofy title, and here's women taking their tops off. Oh, I missed
some explosions, and you got it.
Yeah. For me, nothing else jumped out at me until I got to Tomorrow's.
Okay, well, I got a few. I'll run through quick. Jump to page 328. Under Mad Cave Studios, Over the Ropes. It's set in the 1990s wrestling fictional world. Basically, a young high flyer goes off script in a match to win the world title and sets the Southern Territory on fire. I wish I had a little bit more at this, but because it's a comic for $3.99, I will definitely give it a shot. Across from it is another title that I absolutely love. This is on the I Might Buy It, but it's more of a journal. Under Morrow Gift, I Can't Wait to Cancel This, A Planner for People Who Don't Like People.
Yes!
This is Corey's Christmas gift, so don't tell him nothing. NBM
and
has...
Also, one of those things where, you know, Joe, when we go to the movies together... After a trailer, Joe will say whether he'll watch it in the theater or watch it on TV, whatever.
Red Box or whatever.
And for me, if it's a trailer for a movie I don't care, I just lean over and go, I can't wait to not watch that. Can't
wait to not watch that. NBM's got three books. If Beatles in comics, Bob Marley in comics, Rolling Stones in comics. Of the three, I will probably get the Beatles in comics. And what they talk about, it's a complete illustrated story of the Beatles from their formation through Beatlemania. Bob Marley, Rolling Stones are the same. Again, a little expensive, anywhere from $27 to $30. But and you know, it's telling a story I probably know over and over. But I like me my Beatles, so I'm definitely gonna jump on that one. The only other thing pointing out before we get to Tomorrow, if you're a Sherlock fan of the TV show, Titans is firing up number one for you. So you might want to jump on board with that. Sherlock, a scandal in, I can't even pronounce that, Belgravia? Probably did better on that. So this apparently is a in manga format. But you get a bunch of different styles as well as photo covers, which I love. So, and if you're a Doctor Who fan, they're still doing the holiday special, 2 of 2. Number one was last month, number two this month. But that's pretty much it for me in terms of new stuff or things that I definitely want to point out. Now let's jump to Tomorrow because you know Corey's got something there.
Tomorrow's they're offering Alter Ego 160 again, which is their special Steve Ditko issue. I have read this. It has an incredibly rare Steve Ditko interview. How rare? I don't know if he ever did any other interviews. But this issue, a back issue, is one that I am so excited about. It is an entire issue of Greatest Stories Never Told, which is it's one of the features they have where it's this comic was either solicited and never came out, or it was talked about and never came out, or it was going on behind the scenes and it never came out, and it explains why. And that's all this issue is going to be, including Alex Ross's Fantastic Four reboot, a bunch of 70s stuff from DC, Chris Claremont and Dave Sims' X-Men Cerebus team up, which I had completely forgot about till I read it here, and I went, oh yeah, I remember that now. The Mike Grell Batman John Sable story. And let's see here. Oh, Paul Kupperberg's insider look at the ill-fated Impact reboot with art by Dave Cockrum, Michael Netzer, and others. Now, Joe, I remember when DC bought the Carlton Heroes. Do you remember the first thing they did was hand it to Alan Moore, and when he gave them back what he was going to do, Dick Giordino said, why don't you create your own characters for this, because you're going to kill off all these characters that I spent a lot of time and money buying. What was the first format they were going to use the Question, Blue Beetle, and others in?
Are you talking when he did he ended up making him the Watchman instead of the Carlton characters?
Or? No, they told him to go do Watchmen.
Oh, okay.
And they put together a plan for the Carlton characters. They never solicited it, but they did go around at conventions, and it was in the Amazing Heroes preview, and they talked about it a little in Dick Giordano's Meanwhile column. What was the first thing they were going to do with them?
I don't remember that.
Out of Crisis on Infinite Earths, they were going to have a weekly anthology series. Because if you remember in Crisis, they actually introduced the Carlton universe. Then it got merged with the DC universe. They wanted to do a weekly book, and they were going to do one with using those Carlton characters. But they finally decided, no, we'll give Blue Beetle his own book, we'll give The Question his own book, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there you go. And that's it for previews.
The only other things I'll point out, I'm not probably going to buy any of these. If you're into the toy action figure stuff, they're doing a Jay and Silent Bob reboot action figure assortment based on the movie coming up. And they got a ton of Mego figures under movie, TV, and music. So if you're like looking for horror figures, or like here they've got Bruce Lee, there's a couple Elvis figures, Jimi Hendrix, Kiss figures. Mego figures are really cool. They make kind of a neat Christmas gift. A lot of these will be shipping in October, so you'll probably get them pretty quick. Most of them have been previously ordered by your local comic store or toy shop. So if you are interested in any of these, grab the previews and bring them in. There's a few, like I'm looking at maybe the Elvis figures for my wife, or maybe the Mego, Jimi Hendrix for my sister. My brother-in-law loves the Wolfman, so I might get Face of the Screaming Werewolf from them, or maybe the werewolf figure out of the other ones. So just a lot of fun different figures. I think the Mego figures are really well done, and they look pretty sweet. And it looks like Target's kind of closing out of what they had, so finding these might take a little time, but at $15 a pop, I think they make pretty good Christmas gifts. That's all for me.
You know who's not done yet, Joe?
Probably the peanut butter sandwich I had in the toaster.
Ew. The peanut butter's probably all melted down in the bottom, and I'm not cleaning that.
Just the way I like it. Mm.
I am not cleaning that.
Oh, fine. I'll buy a new stove.
No, it's these guys, our sponsors. promotional consideration is paid for by the following sponsors. Our first sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com has been with us since the beginning. They're the best web host in the whole known universe. And if you need a web host, and you do because, you know, Facebook, Google+, everything gets hacked. But if you set up your own web page, it'll never get hacked. Unless you kind of make some mistakes or pick an easy password like password. But still, you can have your own web page. If you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. When you're at the office, do you often run to the vending machine for snacks? Those things are terrible for you. Instead, have snacks delivered to you. So go to graze.com. Graze.com has healthy snacks that you can decide what kind of snacks you want, how often you want them, whether they get delivered to you, or if you choose them every time. I myself get the subscription box every 2 weeks so that I have healthy things to eat when I'm at work. You can get a free box by using the code CORYS3R5P. Matter of fact, use that code your fifth and your first box are free. Again, that's CORYS3R5P. If you'd like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose Podcast Network shows, you can. Just send us an email at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks.
Neat.
And do you like this podcast? Do you think we're a national treasure? Would you like to be part of it? Well, Joe's going to be a slacker and take a month off, so yeah. You can be a co-host. Just listen. As Joe preps for Hip Watch 2 Electric Boogaloo, I am looking for co-hosts through the month of December. Now, the other thing that we did last year that I really enjoyed, because December can be a very busy month, is we recorded most of our fill-in episodes in October and November. So, if you would like to be a co-host on Crazy Comics and Stories in the month of December, you can! Believe it or not, kids, I am letting other people co-host. If you have a topic, go ahead and let me know. If you have experience with other podcasts, go ahead and let me know. But you can be a co-host. How, you may ask, and you darn well should. You can email me at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject co-host. If you don't have an idea for a episode topic, that's okay. Joe usually doesn't have an idea anyway. I have tons of ideas. And if I know a little about you and what you like to collect, we can do a focused episode like I did with Dangerous Dan Moore when we talked about his favorite character, Thanos. Or when I co-hosted with Adam Vermillion and we talked about his favorite character, Daredevil. So go ahead and email me. I'm looking for co-hosts and I'd like you to be one of them. And this is not the only podcast I do.
Not that I'm counting, but that's only four. It's only about 8 podcasts away that I'll be gone. So, you know,
I know.
Probably 7 because this is number 8. Oh, well, we'll do a countdown. But yeah, wait. Did you say
I'll just be worried.
Did you say you do more?
Yes, like these. The Solitaire Rose Podcast Network is filled with all kinds of audio goodness. First, there's Crazy Comics and Stories. It's been going since 2010, it drops every Monday, and it has me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, and Joe, Crazy Writer, talking comics, shenanigans, and whatever we're freaking and geeking about, every Monday morning. It's been going since 2010, and it's available at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. Also on that same feed is the Solitaire Rose Podcast, which is me, again, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, doing interviews, talking about comics history, pretty much talking about whatever I want to talk about. We've also got Solo Joe, where Joe Crazy Writer does a solo podcast, and he hasn't done one in a while, so kick him in the shins to get him started. We also, on that same feed, have Solitaire Rose Series and Review, where we do DVD commentary of older comic book series. That's all at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. I also do a podcast with Wolfie B. Bad at badadvice.solitairerose.com, where we take listener questions and give them bad advice. There's also Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's at novels.solitairerose.com. There's also Fantastic Forecast, where myself and Adam Vermillion are going through the entire run of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time. That's fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com. And if you think that I'm on all of these podcasts, you're wrong, because Scrabbling Across the West is at scrabbling.solitairerose.com, where musician Dave Coffell and his wife Stephanie travel across America and then sitting down to play Scrabble and talk about the day. That's at Scrabbling Across the West, scrabbling.solitairerose.com. There are always more podcasts at the Solitaire Rose Podcast Network. Be there. Aloha. And now we get to the part that Joe ignored when I said last week. I listened to the episode last week, Joe, and I'm going to correct you, and you need to apologize once again.
Nope, only one apology. I have it in the contract. Only one apology per podcast.
Last week, I said, Joe, what's going on the eBays? And you gave your freaking and then complained that I didn't ask you what was going on the eBays.
Why don't you ask me what's going on the eBays?
No, because you don't pay any attention to what I say anyway. You're just going to do what you want. So here's Joe's favorite part of the show. No, not where he swallows
bathroom break.
Up to close his colon.
I have the cold from hell. Although I actually feel pretty good other than the constant draining. I hope I didn't hack too much over the podcast we're doing. I did hit the mute quite a bit. So if I did, I do apologize for that. My wife and I actually did see a movie a while back. It was called Angel Has Fallen. We were not impressed. It's just one. I guess had we seen the other two, because it's like a third in a series, and it's kind of like, you know, this is the super uber agent, and he's going to be accused of killing Morgan Freeman, which alone gets a death sentence. But, you know, halfway through it, we just had to decide, you know what, we paid $5 for it on a $5 movie night. So let's just kind of check your brain at the door and enjoy it for what it is. It was just a $5 movie. I probably paid maybe $6 too much for it. But other than that, what is nice is now with my new schedule coming up, I got Tuesdays back. So hopefully I can go see some more movies for $5 because, yeah, I'm a little bit cheap guy. I had an interesting phenomena the other day. I borrowed a friend of mine my World War Hulk omnibus because he was really a big Hulk fan and he was all excited about it. And he was like, yeah, it's going to take me about a month to read. And I said, yeah, whatever. Just, you know, you get the main story and then it ties off into what else was going on in the Marvel Universe. He did not like it. He liked the main event book. But what he couldn't wrap his brain around was that, okay, here's the main series, and then here's all the other crossovers. Because to him, once the story was over, it was over. He wasn't able to throw himself back and say, okay, well, here's what was going on behind the scenes or with all these other heroes or things like that. And he just did not like the omnibus format. He thought it was just a waste. And I was kind of like, you know what? That could be true for maybe a casual reader. And that's something I kind of complained about with the Infinity Gauntlet. When I bought this, and I guess it depends on the storyline, but I would have preferred it more chopped up into, okay, here's what's happening at the same time, rather than, okay, here's the main event, now here's everything that tied into it, oh, except the Micronauts. And, you know, you could probably do that on some of the crossovers where it works easier. But just something to keep in mind if you do have a friend that wants to, that's not a comic fan. Probably don't borrow them the omnibus unless it's, you know, go find them just the regular book. Let them be happy with that. Because, I mean, this really, with this, you know, the omnibus format is really mostly for us Uber geeks or guys like Corey that needed to anchor down his bathroom. So,
some light reading. Much,
yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much it for freaking. What you got, Corey?
I was all set Friday. I got home. I didn't have to work at the group home because Turner Classic Movies is showing Godzilla pretty much all night long, Fridays through October. So I turn on my cable. I have my big old bowl of popcorn, my big old giant diet soda, and you do not have the proper tier for this channel. So I think that's odd because I'm paying a lot of money for my cable. A lot of money for my cable. And I went and I looked and Turner Classic Movies moved to the sports tier. Yeah, let that sink in. So I go online to see, is this an error? Is this a mistake? Oh, no. Not only is it not a mistake, but when they, you know, they on Comcast, people can say, hey, what's going on? They have a forum and everything. The Comcast official employee said, well, because Turner Classic Movies costs us so much, we have to, you know, charge you more for it. And the only way to do that properly is to move it to the sports tier. And people were saying, wait a minute, you're making us buy Turner Classic Movies to subsidize all these sports channels we don't want anything to do with and we don't care about. And they closed the discussion. So I am actually looking to see about, first off, does Turner Classic Movies, will it be streaming on the Time Warner, what, the HBO Max or whatever it is? And if it is, I'm going to be cutting the cable, because if you're going to, if I'm buying one of the top tiers and Turner Classic Movies is no longer on it, I no longer need you as my cable company. What's going on the eBays?
You know what I am geeking on? The federal government is now going to recognize Columbo Day instead of Columbus Day from now on. So that's kind of cool. My Friday was spent at work, because since I'm off tomorrow on Monday, they always pay you on the last day you worked. Just something weird with the federal system. So I hung around and did a lot of fun stuff. We did talk about that the MCBA Comic-Con was a couple of weeks ago, and I went, had a fun time. What was cool this year is I could walk. My hip's not totally degenerated yet. Saw a lot of fans, saw a lot of people, talked with a lot of creators. Actually got 12 years in the making. I finally got art from my good friend Ben Piskett. He did the Supergirl that I love to collect. He also had a copy of his comic book that he's working on, kind of an Ashcan edition called Clay Hollow, Hollowen's Origin. And this is basically a kind of a, what they used to call them, Ashcan. And
yes.
Gives you kind of a look. His art is just incredible. He said, now that I have time and he's ready to sit down and spend some time, he's going to publish this thing. You could pick up one of the ash cans and then you get a coupon to get a free copy of the actual comic, which will be coming out when SpringCon hits. And of course, as you know, MSP SpringCon 2020 will be, are you ready? May 16th and 17th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 5 p.m. Sunday at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Grandstand. Don't even ask what's going on, because I'm pretty sure everybody at the con is in deep Odin sleep trying to recover from it. But and, of course, if you do want to try to get one of Ben's ash cans, just give him a call. He's on Facebook, Bennett Piskett, P-I-S-E-K-S. So that was kind of cool. Nice to see he's doing something, because he's always had fun art. I didn't really go too nuts buying things. I did find some stuff that, like there was, Corey, you remember the Black Dragon from Chris Claremont and John Bolton?
Yes. I wish John Bolton was doing comics art. I miss him.
Well, for $5, this person had the Titan Edition graphic novel. And of course, it's in black and white. And has a bunch of gallery sketches. Was the original was in color, wasn't it?
Yes.
Was it? Yeah, because it was epic.
Because it was fully painted.
Yeah. So this is kind of neat just to see the pencils and inks behind it. I did pick up a book from someone I've never read before, but New York Times bestselling author Rochelle Mead. I have a book of hers on the eBays where she autographed the comic. Her comic was Dark Swan Stormborn, and for $2 I picked up the graphic novel, and it says, let's see, Eugene Markham never asked for any of this. Until now, she's been content with her job as a freelance shaman battling and banishing otherworldly creatures, but a prophecy suddenly makes her otherworld's most popular bachelorette. She finds herself fighting off unwanted supernatural suitors, as well as the evils that begin emerging from her past. This was from Sea Lion Books. So, I'll probably review this later. Pretty sure Corey has this. Marvel Masterworks Atlas Era Battlefield.
Nope. Yeah.
Yeah, $10.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cheap for an Atlas book, which reprints every issue of that book. It's one of the better war comics. Very realistic, some beautiful art in that thing.
Yeah, this has 1 through 11, and I thought, you know what, for $10, that's some pretty good reading in a nice hardcover Masterworks format. Some of the other goofy stuff, I did find some autographed Savage Dragon books, which were kind of neat, so I picked those up. I found a miniseries. This is one of those weird things. It's from Ace Comics called Love Sucks. And I know, I'll give a Joe prize to whoever remembers me talking about this. Way, way, way back in the beginning, we talked about stuff. I just took a comic and we went through and talked about series that I had in my collection. And I know we talked about this one. So I got in 1996, let's see if the old Cray 4000 has anything by and of course, why that? I mean, I go to atomicavenue.com because it always talks about some of the stuff. So they had a one shot, a series, which went 5 issues. And of course, I've got 4 of them. And then another special. And not really much on it, but I'll read them again, let you know. Corey, have you ever heard of the magazine? Let's wait. Does the Strode know? All right, I got the shiny new dime. Corey, do you have your thinking hat on?
No, but I do have thinking grenades.
Oh, okay. Well, fire off a few. Have you heard of Groovy Cartoons, Gags, and Jokes?
No. I can't say I have.
Let's see if I can find it here. Groovy was a Marvel comic in 1968. 3 issues came out. It's a strange one. They were trying new things, trying to reach new audience with comic books, and they had parodies of their own books, you know, and the ones we've talked about, not Brand X. This was one of them. It featured hip, single-paneled cartoon gags, things that you'd find later on, like from National Lampoon and stuff, though not as raunchy. And they were trying for a more sophisticated audience. Obviously, it didn't work too well because it only did 3 issues. And I found one in a dollar bin, and I thought, you know what? This is kind of cool. So, and on the cover, it's got, let's see, a bunch of guys in the typical rowboat saving the guy on a island, and he's hugging the one lone palm tree. If Shirley goes, I go too. Okay, here we go. Fuzzy question. Mother, can I go out to play? Yes, daughter, but not with little boys. They're too rough. But mother, if I find a nice, smooth little boy, can I play with him? And then the bottom one has a mom on one of those trash cans that has the lid and the little kid sitting in it. And the dad's going, how long has he had this feeling of not being wanted? These are freak out funnies with Mamas and the Papas, Bob Dylan, the Monkees, Dick Smothers, and Mystery is a Blind Date by Johnny Carson. So maybe after what I just said, there's a reason why they only did 3 issues. A lot of stuff, other stuff, I actually put up on the eBays because, you know me, I'm a flipper. See, I'm flipping Corey off right now, and he can't even tell. But some of the things I sold just recently, Adventure on Planet of the Apes, number 5, that's from 1976. I think those were originals, weren't they, or were they reprinting the magazines? Quick, fire up the Krayzon 3000. Adventure. Who cares? It's gone. It's sold. Let's see what other fun things sold. I did pick up an Amazing Spider-Man 300. They call it Amazing Spider-Man Venom, which is 3D. It just came out this year, and I thought, well, what the heck? It's cheap enough, kind of fun. But sold it. A Bananas issue, number 56, the Scholastic magazine. This one came from 1982, had the Beatles on the cover. 20 things you didn't know about the Beatles. Well, I do now. I sold a run from IDW back when they had the Doctor Who license. They did Doctor Who 1 through 6 featuring the David Tennant, Martha Jones rendition of the Doctor. We talked about Mike Grell earlier, but he did a run of Invincible Iron Man called The Shining Armor, 59-60-61. I sold that as a set. A book I picked up long ago. I think I got this back from, what's his name? Steve Brown, the man of renown. Astonishing X-Men number 1 sketch variant cover. This is one of those Marvel authentics where they always had a little space where you could either buy a pre-sketch on it or you had a space you could get if you wanted to break the seal, you know, because it was a dynamic forces type thing. So sold that pretty cheap. Xena Warrior Princess Volume 1, Number 3, that beautiful David Mack Virgin variant cover. I was tempted to keep this just because it's so good. But, you know, if I want it, I can always, you know, print it out or just save it on the computer. But it was cool. And see a couple other things. Some of these I may have mentioned. I don't know. It's been 2 weeks. I had a Lady Pendragon action figure that was damaged and packaged and shipped that baby out real fast. And an Internal Correspondence, that was the magazine from, that's Diamond, I think. Or no, Cap City. Way back.
Yeah, Internal Correspondence was Cap City. And that's why it's called ICV2, Internal Correspondence Version 2.
And that one dated June 1995 that had, I believe, original Dave Sim cover, Cerebus. Basically, Cerebus is there with a sledgehammer, and he looks like he knocked over Superman and Spider-Man. Oh, no, he basically knocked over the Superman statue. So I got all sorts of fun stuff up. K-R-A-Y-Z on the eBays, so check it out. And, of course, as listeners of this show know, if you see anything you're interested in, send me a quick note, either through the eBay system or make an offer on something, and I'll always cut you a deal, or maybe I'll include you something. Not these cough drops. I'm going to need these later. But it could be. Maybe I'll just give you this Love Sucks collection I picked up because I don't have issue 5 and I want to hunt it down. I did stop by the day after. And if you excuse me a second, we've been talking about how one of the shops Corey and I would visit every so often, Level Up Games, is closing two of their stores. The Egan store, which is long gone, and the one in South St. Paul. Well, they had dropped everything to 50%. And I think I left Corey a quick note. Today is actually, well, I guess by the time you hear this podcast, it's today is their last day as we're recording it. And they dropped everything 60%. They are staying open till 8 p.m., but I hate to see them go. They do have two stores still open. One's in Hastings. And I don't know, Corey, did we ever go to Meads Hall in Minneapolis?
We have not gone there yet.
Well, it's now Level Up Games. So they do still have two stores. Yeah, they renamed it. I bought a bunch of stuff from these guys. Some of it I'm keeping. Some of it I'm not. I know I sent you a note, Corey. They're doing 50%, well, now 60% off their graphic novels. I might have to run down there and pick up that Walt Simonson omnibus. I don't know.
When you get there, let me know because I'll be mixing the podcast. I'm not going to be able to make it. But mm-hmm. If they have a omnibus I want,
yeah,
I'll PayPal you the money for it.
Most of the omnibuses they had were like Avengers, the was that one with the teen whatever, or teen Shadowland. Or
just let me know.
Yeah, definitely. So you can jump onto the eBays, though, and see what kind of fun things I picked up from them because you know, you don't have to wait. The other thing I'm geeking on, just one quick news. You know, I'm really, really gaming for this CW crossover, Crisis on Infinite Earths. And, you know, I've been watching Lucifer on the Netflix. We're wading through the third season right now. I think it's the third season. I don't know. It's just fun to go through it. But rumor has it, Tom Ellis, Lucifer himself, was seen on the set as they're filming Crisis on Infinite Earths on one of the CW shows. Could he be there as Lucifer? Oh, my. Corey, I got to get my heart to stop pounding so hard. Would you go ahead? What are you geeking on?
I only read one comic in the time I was away. I went away for the kind of a long weekend. I left on Thursday, came back on Monday to visit my parents down in central Illinois. And most of the time we watched the Ken Burns country music documentary. They had the whole thing on recorded on their DVR. And whenever I would sit down, Dad would go, oh, let's go back to watching that. I don't mind because I love Ken Burns. I can also tell you exactly what point I quit listening to country music because they talked about how, okay, at this time they brought in these producers who did what they called cosmopolitan country. It's like, yeah, that's when I quit listening to it, when they got rid of all the rhythm and blues and rockabilly influences. Yeah, right there. But just a well-done documentary. And then I read Infinite Wars, the Gary Duggan big crossover hardcover. It's not an omnibus, but it's pretty damn close. It's got the it's got the preview miniseries, the miniseries, and then the aftermath. Sadly, it doesn't have any of the Infinite Warp stories, but you can read it without those. My only problem was that Mike Diodato's art was colored so dark that I would have to turn on an extra light in order to read it well. Ugh, I hate when they do that. But a very cool story, kind of redefining the Infinity Stones now that the Marvel Universe was recreated in Secret Wars.
And again, so, in Doctor Strange for the second time.
Yep. So I highly recommend that book. It's really what I'm geeking on. A lot of what I'm geeking on I talked about when we talked about previews. And believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on.
Wait a minute. Does this mean next episode is going to be a total review episode?
I think next episode we need to talk about this rumor that has gotten so big. Uh-oh. It's on the beat.
Well, that can't be that big. Well, go ahead, drop a teaser, let them people conform their opinion, and then we'll give them theirs. We'll give them the proper opinion next week.
Have you heard about 5G? No, not to make your phones work faster.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like gravity or something.
Nope, DC is rumoring about a big event next year that will end in something called 5G, and we're going to talk about it next week.
So hit the Googles, find out what it's about, and you can join in and talk with us.
And believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for almost 2 hours.
Good for you.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most, Joe.
All right, you're going to be very, very disappointed. I don't have a dad joke for you this week.
Oh, thank goodness.
And what's worse, there's going to be no music from me. You know why? I'm going tonight to see Hart and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at the XL Energy Center. Me and my family. So I imagine I'll blather on about that, assuming I have any hearing left next week. So don't hit my music. Hit Hart and Joan Jett's.
Yeah, I don't think we can do that.
What, you want to get sued? Come on, they're gonna be busy at the XL Center. It's not like they're going to listen to the podcast.
You never know. We're a national treasure. So instead, hit my music.
Aw.
Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll.
Hey, yo. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here. Know what I'm saying?
We done, bitches!